right, what's going on, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Tiger View podcast brought to you by Tiger View Media. I'm your co-host, Gavin James, and I'm proud to be partnering with your other co-host, Dawson Smith. So, Dawson, I know this is something I've been wanting to do for a while, and just speaking with you too, I know it's something you've wanted to go into as well as podcasting and just talking Clemson athletics. But so I'm gonna hand it off to you first, just to kind of introduce yourself, brief background of what you do and just anything else you want people to know, and then also kind of put like a fun question, your favorite Clemson memory you've seen either in person or just in general.
All right, thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited. And I know this has kind of been, something both of us kind of wanted to do. We've known each other for a long time, and I guess now is kind of our opportunity. I'm Dawson. Me and Gavin know each other a couple years back from mainly baseball, and I do a lot of photography and recently started covering Clemson. So, here we are. We didn't think we would be doing a podcast this early, but hey, look, it's a perfect time, right?
Yeah, man.
And
Just gotta
like
kind of go for it.
I guess you were saying favorite memory.
Yeah, whether it's like you've seen it in person or just in general with Clemson.
I think for me, I would probably have to say 2016 NC State homecoming in person, overtime win against them. They missed the field goal to send
Oh
it to
yeah.
overtime.
Yeah,
That's probably it for me.
that's definitely a good one. Well, first off, I'm Gavin James. One of the writers for Tiger View Media. I guess you could say I'm one of the founding fathers of Tiger View Media, but I don't want to like, toot my own horn. But yeah, just I got on doing that. Head guy Charles Mays, big shout out to Charles. He had this bright idea to, do a media outlet. He was just doing photography, but he fell in love with Clemson and he just wanted to kind of reach out farther and start a media outlet in Tiger View Media. And it basically started with the Texas game, but he was just looking for people to come on. And I really wasn't sure about writing at first. And I was like, hey, why not? Like, where could this go? And I think as of today, I just wrote my 100th article. So it's going by pretty quick, but I've just had a blast with it the whole time. But for me, I would say my favorite Clemson memory, well, I seen live, I would say this year with the Nolan Hoosier field goal in Charlotte. And then my other one would probably be Clemson winning the regional and going to the super regional. So I would say this is kind of like, I guess you could say out of the box. People would say, 2016 national championship, 2018, but kind of went out of the box there.
I
So,
like it. I like it.
yeah. So I'm just kind of going to write down the purpose of this podcast. So me and Dawson, we're just going to be covering all things Clemson sports, from recaps to recruiting and everything else in between. We're going to try and make this a weekly series, so making sure you're staying up to date with everything going on Clemson athletics.
All right, Gavin. So, I guess now that we've kind of introduced ourselves, how about we jump into our first topic is, the baseball series that you were at. You just got home, right?
Yeah, man, I was like, I wouldn't say speeding home, but I was rushing home so we could get this first episode down. And I mean, what a way to finish off the weekend for the Tigers. I mean, they come in on Friday, Aiden Connaught, we'll get to him in a minute. He just had another lights out performance. And then Saturday, it was kind of a whirlwind of emotions, high scoring game. Tigers ended up losing 12-10. And then what we just finished witnessing this Sunday afternoon, the 6-7 walk off win for the Tigers. So, yeah, I mean, heck of a weekend, man. You got anything else to add?
Man, I was, I'm kind of paying attention today. Admittedly, I didn't really get to see a ton of it today. I was, spending time with my family, but I'm keeping in track of it. I'm looking at my phone and I'm thinking about tonight. I'm like, this isn't going to be a fun recap at all. We're going to have to recap a, back-to-back blowout losses, but hey, look, they battled in it. I think Eric Bakich has shown, time and time after again that this team doesn't give up. And we haven't hit the long ball very well at all this year, like we had last year, which got us out of a lot of holes. But even today, I mean, station to station, drawn out counts, taking balls that are an inch off the plate, making good reads, stealing bases. I guess the best example I can have is Andrew Trufo late in the game. Cam Cannarella hits the single into the right side of the field, and the throw goes home, and the catcher bobbles the throw, and Andrew, without a shadow, without a second thought, darts home, scores another run, and that's huge with two outs. I mean, that is monumental. So, I mean, just little plays like that, Clemson just showing that, no matter where they are, they're just never out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they were down, what, 6-0 going into the fifth or sixth. But like you said, stealing bases has been a thing that I have seen. I mean, even with what helped us win the game with Tristan McClaty, he took second, and I forgot whose at bat it was, but he took second, and then he ended up on third. And then before we knew it, he was home, and they were celebrating right there at home plate at the end. But just, man, what an amazing way to cap off the weekend and going into this next week, where we got Coastal coming up on Tuesday and also Presbyterian on Wednesday, and then our first away ACC series over in Atlanta at Georgia Tech.
If I would add something about our pitching, Friday, I mean, this is now back to back, just big performances out of Aiden Canott. I mean, Friday he goes 6 innings, 2 hit ball, 1 run, and 10 Ks. I mean, he's just been electric. That is what we've been kind of waiting to see break out from him. A couple of weeks ago, I was at, I believe it was the series against Davidson, and it was a Saturday, and we're all, everyone's looking at numbers, and we're all discussing in the post game, and really, we felt like he was trying to place the ball a little too much. We felt like he wasn't being himself, like we saw many times last year. He was getting too deep into counts. I mean, he was really struggling there to get guys out early in the count. But I mean, what we saw Friday of him, I mean, that's perfect. If you can get that out of Aiden Canott, you can get him 6 innings. Hey, maybe we can stretch it to seven towards the end of the year, but that is where we want to sit, where we can bring the bullpen in and say, hey, we got a shot against anybody with that. That was just a great performance. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, like you said, him going six in his last time out, and I think he might have had a seven inning pitched inning game. I think I forgot one of the games this season, but his past two outings, he's had 22 total strikeouts, with allowing just 3 hits and 1 run combined in both of those games. And that one was Notre Dame last Friday, and that was his new career high with 12 strikeouts. So just like you said, he's totally turning around as of late with his past two starts, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do on Friday over in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think one question mark, still remains in a lot of Clemson hit in a lot of Clemson fans' minds, and I mean, really popped out today was, the Sunday starter. I think that's been a, an issue that a lot of Clemson fans understand, and we knew going into the season, Dan Moeller, who wasn't going to be able to pitch, so we said, hey, look, Justin Lagernick got to step up. We got to see it, and he opened the year, struggled against Ole Miss, and then ended up having a couple of, solid performances. Didn't do too well in his last outing. Then we saw him come out of the bullpen in the midweek or during the week this week, and it really felt like to me that almost was the nail in the coffin for him as far as a weekend starter. And when the lineups and the pitching rotation came out a couple of days ago, I looked at Sunday, and it was to be determined. So I'm like, okay, that probably says a lot about where we think he stands right now. And talking to some people I knew, and it was pretty clear to everybody that it was going to be BJ Bailey. That was the big belief. And then going into Saturday's game, we start to fight back like we did, and we get in a situation where we say, hey, if we can take today's series, we're going to take it, and then we're going to go ahead and win the series. So, they end up having to pitch BJ Bailey, which I'm sure is probably not something they wanted to do, but look, it happened. And then we say, hey, we can throw Lagernick out there today. And honestly, I don't know, Gavin, how you feel about it and what you saw from it, but I thought early, it wasn't so much that he was just not pitching extremely well, but it was just really unfortunate and timely hits. I would say a big hit in the first inning, the ball got past Pano. Everyone thought it was foul, and winds up fair. There were a lot of hits today that stacked up early that were, low contact, or maybe he wasn't finding the zone. It was kind of really unfortunate to see that. But, I don't know what the future entails for him for the weekend starter. As far as that, I could see him maybe jumping back into the bullpen. But I mean, what did you see today?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, just giving up these runs early, that play with Pano over at third, kind of a, I don't know, kind of a weird play in general. And one scores right there. And then not too long after, he gives up the home run to dead center. And I just knew then, like, it wasn't his day.
He kind
He,
of felt like the wheels were coming off.
yeah, Backes didn't take too long to go ahead and pull the trigger on him and bring someone else in. But I mean, like you said, I feel like BJ Bailey would be a good candidate for the Sunday spot. He's just had great outings out the pen. And I mean, he came in today and just another great outing. So, I mean, that's something you really need in a Sunday starter. You need a guy who's going to go out there and, you know, whether you're down a game or you're up a game, and you just need a guy to go ahead and get you that series win or either conclude the sweep or whatever. You just need somebody who you know and you can trust on Sunday to go out there and throw you some good innings.
You know, the way this offense is playing, it almost feels like we don't even have to have that much out of a performance. We just got to not let up 7 or 8 runs, you know, in 3 innings. You know, if we can hit the ball like we did today and, you know, continue that through the season, you know, I don't care who's out there throw, you know, they could throw one of us out there on Saturday or on Sunday. As long as we can get through 5 innings and, you know, keep the score to a minimum, I think we have a really good chance overall.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, I mean, you got anything else to add on the baseball end?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't. I'm just,
All
you
right.
know, happy that we got the series win today and excited that we weren't having to give a bad report tonight.
Yeah, it gives us some great news to talk about with the first episode, so I'm glad with that. But like I said in the beginning, Clemson now they'll face CCU Coastal on Tuesday night at 6 at Duns Kingsmore, and then the next night they'll face Presbyterian at 6, and then they'll focus into their first road ACC series at Georgia Tech. And just real quick, I want to go into softball because they did have a big weekend too, at Syracuse in New York. So 8-1 win Friday, 10-1 or 10-0 win on Saturday, and then a 15-0 win today in run rule fashion. And I don't know how much you keep up with softball, but Alex Brown, she had a heck of a weekend, going 10 for 10 on the whole weekend. I mean, you just couldn't get her out, obviously. And then,
Big North Carolina transfer, yeah.
yeah, big North Carolina transfer. And then also Reese Basinger, the Winthrop transfer, she's dealing in the circle. She gets her 10th win on the season. And yeah, they've been on fire as of late, and I wouldn't be opposed if they weren't ranked coming up soon.
Yeah, I'm really proud to see those girls play well, especially after a little bit of a rough start. It's good to see them find defeating.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they had those two tournaments in Florida, and I mean, they were facing some pretty rough competition, and I mean, they had a rough start as of the beginning of the season, and then they kind of went on that win streak and got a game over Georgia and then that one game over Duke, but now they got an even bigger opponent on Tuesday, and I mean, ranked South Carolina, number 10, I believe. They are ranked. They've been playing good, so another test for Coach John Rittman and his squad going to Columbia on Tuesday night to try and, you know, get another ranked win out of the schedule.
Excited to see it. Excited to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, so just wanted to touch on that real quick because, you know, you can't forget about them softball girls whenever they've been heating up the diamond too. So big shout out to them and Coach Rittman. But now we're going to go into another big topic, and that's the basketball season recap. So I got it on here where you're going to lead that, Dawson. And I know
Yeah,
you
that.
probably got a bunch of opinions and stuff to say. So I'm going to let you take it and see what I can get from it.
Yeah, I do. I do. And, you know, a lot of people probably don't want to talk about basketball right now. It's
Yeah.
a little bit of a sensitive subject. And, you know, it was for me, I think what gives us the difference is we played sports. You know, we understand the rules of, you know, being an athlete and the rules of losing and winning. And so I try to just apply that to certain things in life. And I think the way this basketball season ended is no different. You know, I took a step back from the game, you know, after the final and just, I gave myself the 24-hour rule, meaning I didn't really want to talk about it a lot. I didn't want to watch anything about it. I didn't want to watch any more basketball for 24 hours. And I just decompressed and let myself, you know, feel what happened. And honestly, my conclusion of the game is it shouldn't overshadow the season that these guys had. These guys had one of Brownell's best, probably his best regular season, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was their best record in program history, if I'm not
Yeah,
mistaken.
exactly. I mean, he had one of his best seasons And we were bringing in a lot of new pieces this year. I mean, this was a team that Brownell said early that he said, "Hey guys, it's not all going to click at first. Just give us some time." And I think we saw that early in the year. I mean, when we played South Carolina, it just didn't feel like we were clicking. Chase Hunter played a great game, and he was really steady to rely on. But early on, it really felt like we had some question marks. It did. And then, towards mid-season to end season, it really felt like we got things going. Victor Locken stepped up in a big way this year. And I mean, when you get a guy like that, it feels like he's been here his whole career. I mean, the guy that really loved Clemson. I mean, it felt like him, Chase Hunter, and Ian had been there all along. I mean, guys like Victor Locken, Zach Edey, or sorry,
Jaden
Zachary,
Zachary.
Jaden Zachary. Yeah,
Yeah. You
sorry,
good?
mixed up. Yeah, Jaden Zachary. It just feels like those guys have been here forever, and we love and appreciate everything they did for Clemson this year. And it is unfortunate that we didn't get it like we wanted. Sometimes that happens. I've had to tell countless people this year to say, "Hey, look, it's March. 12s beat fives. We can't anticipate that we're going to score 13 points in the first half. I mean, that's a terrible game plan, or that's just terrible gameplay. We can't, as fans, we can't stop that. We can't blame, anyone else but ourselves. It just happened to us. We got to recoup." But I am excited to see what Brownell does in the portal. I really think he's going to go heavy into that, and I'm not one of those people that's going to raise their hand and say, "Let's fire Brad Brownell." No, that's total opposite. I think right now that the basketball program is as healthy as it's ever been in its history. How many times can you say that we went to the Elite Eight and then the next year we had our best conference year in regular season history, and then we lose in the first round by 2 points, and everyone is really upset and they want to fire the coach? I mean, that tells you right there that the tide is changing at Clemson. But just to go over a few big points in the season is, I don't remember the last time, not certainly in our lifetimes at least, that we beat Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina all in the same year. I mean, those were phenomenal games. I don't know if you were there for them, but I mean, Kentucky, it felt like the building was about to explode. And I mean, who knew that we had it in us, to know that we were better than Kentucky this year, really. I mean, to me now, looking back at it, I don't believe that was an upset. I just believe we were better than them. And, even against Duke, I would still consider that an upset, but we were just better than them that night. We played really well. We dominated in the paint. We shot the ball well, which is what just makes the ending of the season so heartbreaking, is that, everything that we were so great during the season, shooting, physicality, paint play, it looked really bad for a long time against McNeese. But look, that's how the cookie crumbles. There's not much we can do about it now. We just have to say, "Hey, look, we're going to go to the portal, we're going to raid the portal, we're going to develop, and we're going to come back a lot stronger next year."
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. But I mean, man, what a season in general. I mean, so many storylines, like you said, beating Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina. I always look back at that Victor Locken video where he's like, "We're blue bloods too now." And I mean, just a great season in general. I mean, many people were expecting us to make a run. I low-key was. I mean, just because from previous season, making it to the Elite Eight, and I was expecting us to make a little run again, but I mean, still, you can't complain with the season we've had, even with that first exit loss in the tournament. But I do think, like you said, Brad will raid the portal. I mean, he's shown that he's done a great job. I mean, take this year as an example: Lockin, Zachary, I forgot the other guy's name, but I mean, just an outstanding season.
Jacob Hybreeder, I guess we could throw in there too.
Yeah, him. And I mean, yeah, I mean, and also with those people saying after one little slight loss, fire Brownell, like, come on now, like,
Yeah, it's.
after all he's done, you take one moment and just totally flip the script and want him going, like, come on, like.
Sometimes you got to take a step away and just breathe. I mean, emotional reactions happen. I mean, I guess you could look at a lot of times during football season and probably say the same thing. I can certainly say it about myself, but you just have to take a step back and breathe and realize the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
Yeah, funny thing about that 24-hour rule, that was something like my high school football coach would always tell us, after a loss. So, we've lost this game, but just take 24 hours to decompress, and then tomorrow's a new day and a new opportunity.
Yeah. Also, I apologize for it being dark on my side. I'm in a sunroom right now. We got a lot of construction going on at the house. I got a lot of stuff in the background. So hopefully next time I'll be in light. So we'll just
yeah,
see what we
that
got
you
right now.
good. Yeah, well, our listeners on audio won't see it, but
Yeah, they won't have to worry about
yeah,
that.
but if you're in our YouTube audience, you'll see it. But yeah, you're good, man. All right, so anything else you want to add on basketball?
I mean, nothing really. I mean,
Any other final words? I know one thing, it's going to be a whole different looking team next year, but I
bring
mean,
back
you could say
RJ
that.
Davis
Yeah, I mean,
or RJ Godfrey,
are,
Godfrey.
yeah, I've seen a
Yeah,
bunch of
bring him
buzz
back.
about that, but either way you look at it, that could be good, that could be bad, but definitely a new look team for Coach Brad Brown now next season.
Yeah.
All right, so we're done on the basketball end. So now we're going to go into another big chunk of Clemson athletics, and that is football, with football starting to heat back up again. You got spring football and spring game coming up here in 2 weeks, but just some early observations I've seen from spring practice, just with the media availability stuff that I've been to, is I mean, you can't help but look at the portal additions Dabo did in the off season with Tristan
Finally.
Smith. Yeah, I know. With Tristan Smith, Will Helton, and Jeremiah Alexander. I mean, just looking at those guys from my eyes, I mean, they're some pretty big dudes, and I mean, I know they're ready to make an impact in Tigertown, especially Tristan Smith. Just his story is amazing, and just seeing the height on that dude, he's definitely gonna get some jump balls this year.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm really excited. And yeah. I do want to talk about is it seems like everybody in the country was, a meteor could fall out of the sky and hit America, and the country would say, "Well, Dabo didn't use the transfer portal. That's why." You know, it didn't. It felt like anything we did was it was directed at Dabo's, not using the portal. And to me, as I always explained it to people, is I didn't think the transfer portal was that big of a deal to me. You know, in earlier in the portal, a couple of years ago, Dabo said that he said, most portal guys wouldn't be good enough to play for us, and people called him crazy. But you look at the roster and you're like, from a pure statistics and numbers point, he is not wrong. Now, the one problem about not using the portal and not, kind of adapting to the new college football is you have to have elite coaches across the board. And I am not the only person to certainly believe that we did not have the best coaches across the board that we could have had these last couple of years. I mean, there's a definitely a couple position groups that I could look at and name and say, look, that ain't gonna cut it. I mean, I think we wasted a lot of talent from 2021 to, I guess you could say even last year, to where we had so many guys that were highly rated players and we didn't do anything with them. We didn't make a run in the playoff. We didn't make the playoff. We probably, I think 2022, we were talented enough. We were probably a Antonio Williams fumble away, or a couple of plays against South Carolina away from really being, playoff contenders. And this past year, we were a couple of plays away from, being locks in the playoffs, not having to worry about sneaking in through a backdoor Miami loss. Just it's little things like that that kill your program. It's not us not getting, not paying millions of dollars to five stars in the portal that we can't afford, frankly. I think that's another thing is, a lot of Clemson fans don't understand that. Up until very recently, Clemson did not have large amounts of cash to just be throwing at portal players. That was the biggest thing was, Dabo said we use NIL. We do use it. We use it for retention. We're not gonna shovel out money to a lot of transfers that, frankly, we don't think if they don't match our culture, we're not gonna do it. And we're not gonna risk losing all of our players like that. But now I think it was the perfect time between us having a little more money to play with. And just, like Dabo said, we saw a need and we met it. Bryce Davis decommits in the recruiting session. We were just gonna bring him in. We had guys drop out in recruiting. So look, needed a defensive end. Troy Stellato, gone, hits the portal. He's on his way to Kentucky. Needed a depth piece at wide receiver. Linebacker, another edge, torn ACL. freshman coming in, say, hey, we need a guy. So look, Jeremiah Alexander pops up in the portal, and then bam, radar goes off. He's a perfect guy. He's a perfect fit, perfect culture fit. And I think we've navigated the portal well. I really do think so this year. We don't need 10 or 15 portal guys. We don't need that. Three or four, maybe five is just a perfect number.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, just seeing some of these teams, they'll get, like you said, 15, 20 guys, and it's a brand new look team. But I like the way Dabo is going about it. Like he says, we get guys, we'll use the portal when we see a fit somewhere or a need somewhere where we can't go out and get a high school player. So definitely, I feel like, I mean, I guess with your first portal class, I mean, Dabo wouldn't say the same. He'd be like, we used the portal last couple of years. You know how he is, but
That's always what
anyways,
he says, yeah.
yeah, I feel like these three guys coming in are perfect fits, and just from seeing like what they've talked about Clemson and their whole process, I mean, no better fit than to bring them here. Going into the next one, another thing that's been standing out to me that Dabo has been talking about each time I've heard him talk after practice, is Gideon Davison, and that's just a whole storyline in its own self with the running back room. But Gideon Davison, he's been getting some pretty big shout outs from Dabo. So he's going to be in contention for that running back spot. What you got about that?
Yeah, I hope he is. And I have a lot of friends that text me and they'll ask me, they say, we need to go to portal at running back. We need to look at a running back position as a portal spot. And why don't we do that? Yada yada yada. And I say, guys, look, Clemson believes in Gideon Davidson more than anybody. They will not go to the portal without seeing him in spring practice. I can promise you that. And I could probably hint at a, opportunities to where look, if we would have gone to the portal for a running back, that would have made some people upset, frankly. I just don't think that would have been a logistical stance. That would have been logical. I think, what we have is what we need at running back. Gideon is probably, if not the best, second best running back in his class. I don't really care what 24/7 or On Three says. I know what he looked like. And, even coming in now, he looks like a junior now. He looks like a grown man.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's one of the things Dabo was saying.
I would not be surprised if maybe not first play against LSU, but maybe even at halftime that he's RB1 for this year. I really believe that could happen.
Yeah, he kind of, I mean, even with him wearing the number 9, he kind of reminds me of Travis Etienne just
Oh, yeah.
coming in that first year. And I remember one of those big plays that Etienne made. It was that game at Louisville where he made that big breakaway run, and I was like, man, this dude's gonna be something else. And I kind of get the same vibe with Gideon Davison, so I'm definitely excited about that.
I hope. Maybe he's been practicing with you. That's why he's getting a lot of praise. That
Yeah,
might be why.
maybe. All right, so looking into O-line, I also noticed Braydon Jacobs. That's a big dude. I know he's gonna move some people. And then also a guy you're kind of familiar with, Amari Adams. He's been getting big praise too. Big guy, old Florence, South Carolina.
To speak on him a little bit is, man, he does everything right. A lot of cases when you have a guy like him playing at where he was playing at, there's really nobody equal to him in high school. There's nobody his size, and there's really nobody that he can really better himself with on a Friday night. And so a lot of guys like that, they have questionable motors. And I watched every game from his senior year and most from his junior year. And man, there's not a harder worker than he is. I'm really excited for him to be here at Clemson. And honestly, I didn't think he was coming here. I'll be really honest. Towards the end of his recruiting, his junior year, it was a really big toss-up probably between LSU and South Carolina. And Clemson made the move, and look, he's here now. All things work out, and he had a really good senior season. I don't think his stats jumped off the page as much as people would like them to. But they have to understand, South Florence runs a three-man front. He was playing on the outside, more like a defensive end position, and he's getting doubled every play. He's not going to play defensive end at Clemson. He's going to be on the inside. And I think Tom Allen's, praising him without anyone asking about him says a lot about him and his work ethic. So I'm just really proud of him. Looking forward to seeing him play this year.
Yeah, fun little fact. I don't know if you knew this, but I ended up playing football my senior year, and we played Lake City when Amari was still at Lake City.
Yep.
And I actually ended up going against him, but he's like 10 times bigger now. But just I thought that was cool
You
whenever
put him in
we.
the dirt.
No, he put me in the dirt actually. But yeah, I just thought that was pretty cool once he committed to Clemson. I was like, hey, I've been up against the Clemson commit. But yeah, just fun little side note there. So going down, there's been some coaching staff updates and changes. So obviously the big one, Tom Allen, defensive coordinator coming from Penn State, who, made a deep run in the playoff. You got Kevin Kelly, another guy who's kind of the GM now with all this NIL stuff. He's got NFL experience, and then one Clemson fans are known to, Ben Bollwear. He's been put in that position as kind of a linebackers coach, and he's also doing some recruiting. And I think what better guy to handle that than Ben Bollwear? Then also you got Mike Houston, another really experienced coach coming in and helping Tom Allen in that. And also can't forget about Tom Allen's son. I think his name's Tim. I think he's helping Bollwear out with that. And then also Lonnie Galloway, coming over from North Carolina. But those are the ones I had. I think those are most of them, unless I missed one. But yeah, pretty big staff changes and updates for Dabo.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. I think it shows that I don't want to say it, but it feels like we're back. It really does. You know, I love the Tom Allen hire. Funny story about that whole incident is, rumors fly everywhere during, hiring session. Everyone's, it was, first of all, it was Tim Banks, and that was the leading candidate, and Clemson had extended an offer to him, but I wasn't hearing that at all from, everything that I was hearing and people texting. It was like, no, it's not him. And then we heard well, Al Golden, right?
Yeah,
Or
that
yeah,
was another
heard
big
him.
one.
And it was the same person, I think, that tweeted out about Tim Banks. And I'm like, no, I had people asking me, even at church, saying, oh, is it him? I'm like, I haven't, I don't know. But I haven't heard that name certainly. And so I get a text on Sunday afternoon and it says, hey, it's gonna be Tom Allen. There's contract in the works right now. So I say, okay, I probably should have verified it, but I totally tweeted it out and didn't think about it. And man, it blew up. I had a
Yeah.
lot of people, saying, oh, no, you don't have any proof, this, that. And then I said, all right. So I went to bed. I woke up Monday morning and what did I get? ESPN notification that it was Tom Allen was finalizing a deal. And man, I mean, that really excited me. I think he's a really good fit. I think a lot of people really didn't think he was on our radar just because he was in a good spot at Penn State, from outward view. And now since then, speaking to some people at Penn State, there's probably a few people over there that believe maybe there was some maybe some discrepancy between him and James Franklin. And we'll never know that. So I'm not gonna sit here and try to tell you that or tell anybody that, but that's just what I've heard, in Penn State chat rooms and from people that I'm, might know up there. But yeah, I mean, I love the hire personally.
Yeah, and I know another thing that kind of led him to Clemson was also he has family in the nearby area. So I remember him, that was a big thing in his press conference too. Like he'll be able to spend time, I think it's with his daughters, if I'm not mistaken. So like he hasn't, I mean, being up in Penn State, he hasn't probably seen them in who knows how long, but now with them being in Clemson, it'll definitely be a good family fit. And I guess, with
And
Clemson,
it's
it's
too
always a
cold
family
too.
thing. Yeah.
Too cold. I mean, I don't want to live in Pennsylvania either if I were him. This
Yeah,
Clemson is a retirement destination.
that's what I'm
Not to
saying.
say his career's come here to die, but once he's done with coaching, I mean, South Carolina is a wonderful place to retire.
Definitely. All right, kind of going into some more football stuff. We're going to talk about recruiting. Recruiting's been big past couple of weeks. Dabo had the elite retreat, and we gathered some recruits out of that, and we'll touch on that. And also another thing I've seen on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, but Caden Jebhart visited this weekend, four-star safety out of Ohio. That was another big get from the Elite Retreat, but just all those commitments coming from the Elite Retreat. So just your thoughts about that.
Yeah, man, Dabo's been on fire. I think a lot of it has to do with
And also Matt Luke. Can't forget about Matt Luke, man.
oh,
He's
cannot forget about it.
well,
Cannot
just
forget.
the whole coaching staff in general, but definitely Matt Luke.
I think we got to give a little like hats off to Tyler Grisham as well, man. I mean, a couple, it wasn't that long ago. Everyone was ready to, kick him out of Clemson. They were ready to send him to Columbia. But he's really stepped up, and he's done a really good job getting who he wants in that room. But yeah, just to go into, the recruiting weekend, I think right now is, especially with rev share, Clemson stands in a pretty good spot. It isn't like last year or the year before. And I see a lot of people on Facebook and X and people that are telling me, and they're like, oh, well, now we just got to keep them. We just got to keep them now. They're going to get poached. They're going to leave. They're going to decommit. And I'm like, let's just calm down, guys. Let's just enjoy the moment. Look, and another response I can have to that is, well, if they do get poached, it's going to be a lot harder to do that now because Dabo isn't, Clemson's not broke. He said it before. He said nobody's going to have more money than Clemson when it comes to rev share. And he's right. I mean, not every school can, we're going to allocate 85% or so, maybe 90% of the 20.5 million. There's a ton of other schools that can't do that. They just don't have $20 million to throw at their football program right now. A lot of them don't. So, I think that's coming into play as far as, say, Clemson say, hey, we can pay you close or just as much as what Texas or Ohio State or Florida is paying you, in a nine boroughs. It was really, a big battle between Florida, and we can say, hey, look, we can pay you just as much as Florida is, and this is Clemson. This is different. I think Clemson sells itself and Dabo Swinney sells himself. Because despite what, people on the internet, Josh Pate might say about Dabo and might say about Clemson, that name, when it walks in the building, still carries weight. It really does. It still hits hard. And when Dabo talks, recruits have, recruit, he commands respect. Recruits listen. So I think that's been a really big thing that I've been happy to see is, how things have changed in the recruiting profile.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just another thing is that separates Clemson from everybody else is just the Paul Journey program and what they do with those players when, they're worried about football, but they're more worried about football afterlife and just what those guys have going on. Because, I mean, most of them or a good chunk of them might not make it to the league. So what is their plan after college, whenever they're done with football and on to, real world stuff? So I think that's another good thing that Clemson has that kind of separates itself. And I mean, I think that's another big lead recruiting pitch too.
I mean, certainly. I mean, even take a small example, Phil Mafah. I mean, Phil Mafah was very open that he was, very close to transferring after his sophomore year, and he spoke to his family member, I believe, that was at Georgia, and they were talking about the differences. And Georgia doesn't offer the things that Clemson does, and that was a big swing in Phil Mafah's. He had a conversation with the coaches, and ultimately, prayed over it and thought about it and realized that coming back was the smartest decision for him. So, I mean, just like you said, Paul Journey, I mean, there's a lot of schools that don't do that. And same with coaching staff. I think Dabo treats his coaches better than probably any other coach at a major college in America. I mean, not every coach, they don't have family dinners on Wednesdays to bring your family and your kids in. Dabo gives them time. They don't come into the office before 12 o'clock. They've got some time off to decompress and be with their families. I just think that Clemson is just a wonderful place to attract coaches and attract great players. All that was missing was the want to and a little bit of the money now in this new world of college football.
Yeah, for sure. And just to update everybody on the recruiting class stack ups nationally, Clemson in the 2026 class has 12 commits so far. They're ranked second in 24/7 Sports and then seventh on On3, and that is also first in the ACC as well. Anything else you want to add with recruiting wise? I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, nothing much. I mean, I'm excited to see some of these guys, man. I really am. I think we're looking to get one more, maybe O lineman. That would be nice to stack. And I'm kind of tracking a couple other players, but right now I'm not really in a position to say whether some guys are going to pick us or not. Recently I talked to
Zion Giles.
Zion Giles from Carver's Bay. You probably know him pretty well. I talked to him about his recruitment, and honestly, man, I mean, that's a great kid. Regardless who he picks, I think he's a phenomenal kid. I'm really proud of him. I'm sure his, community and family is really proud of him, and he's a South Carolina product.
For sure.
Regardless, Clemson or Carolina, people from here, we can respect his grind.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely good to see those in-state people with us being in-state, just seeing those guys eat. Because, I mean, you're used to all these out-of-state guys come in to, Clemson or South Carolina to play. And, I mean, you know them just from the stories, but whenever they're in-state, it makes it feel just a little bit more special whenever they come to either school in-state.
Yeah, right.
All right, so Dawson, we're kind of going to wrap it up now. I just want to give a quick preview of the upcoming games this week that I got jotted down. So, like I said before, baseball plays Coastal on Tuesday, Presbyterian on Wednesday. Both of those games are at 6 p.m. You can watch those on ACC Network Extra. And then Clemson takes it to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech in the first away ACC series. Softball, they play at South Carolina and Columbia on Tuesday night. And then they have the weekend series back at home in McWhorter versus Cal, new member Cal. And then also got women's lacrosse. They've been doing pretty good as of late. They have a Wednesday game at home and versus Albany, and then Saturday versus Cal, which is also their senior day. So, big shout out to those girls up there who play at the only women's lacrosse facility in college athletics. So, always
I tell
good.
you, you don't think much about lacrosse, and then you start tuning into it, and you're like, man, this is intense. I mean, I love the Clemson supports and has a team. I mean, they're great. That might be, hey, look, they might say, move out of the way, football. This is a lacrosse school now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a handful of games, and I mean, just that facility with the turf, and they got their own little area right there off the lake. It's just an awesome view.
Yeah.
So you got any final thoughts or key takeaways from the episode?
Man, final thoughts is I'm just glad we were doing this, I'm just
Yeah.
glad, we talked about it a couple of days ago, and we kind of had to put some stuff together, and look, here we are. So, and I guess a takeaway from the episode is probably the weekend series against baseball. I mean, this is a great way to, recap the weekend and just talk about it. And it feels a lot better getting to talk about wins rather than having to talk about losses. So probably that.
Yeah, definitely. This was really fun to do, and I know just with our Clemson knowledge, we're able to kind of yap about our opinions and also make sure people stay in the know. But I still want to give another big shout out to Charles. He kind of tasked me with the podcast thing because that's something I kind of mentioned to him when I first started. I was like, hey, once we get kind of deeper into this thing, I kind of want to do a podcast because, I mean, writing articles is good, but people like to watch stuff and listen to stuff. So big thanks to Charles for, tasking me with this and just bringing you along, man. I knew you'd be a great
Yeah.
fit. And then the first episode on, I mean, both of us, I feel like we've done a phenomenal job, but definitely fun. And we're definitely going to do our best to keep up with it week by week, schedule pending for both of us, because I know we're both busy with school and everything else that life throws at you. But yeah, so kind of wrapping up, want to give some social media shout outs for ourselves. So for me on Instagram, you can find me at GavinJames.12. And then also on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, you can find me at GJames_1212. And yeah, just stay up to date with everything Clemson. You want to give your social media
Yeah, I'll go
shout out
ahead.
as
I'll go
well?
ahead. Yeah. For my Instagram, it'll be Smitty Flex, SmittyFlix. That's my photography and Clemson cover page, because I'm sure that's pretty much all the thing wants to see. And then for X, just like Gavin, it's capital GMFLO, GameFlow without the A, FLIX. Dawson is the name there. You can keep up with both of us on X. And just be on the lookout, I guess. We put out a lot of news on there.
Yeah, for sure. I know, you got the regulars that give out all the Clemson information, but it's always good with young guys like us trying to spread the word as well and just learning the ways of all the media stuff. And I can tell you just from only doing this a couple months, it's been a blast, and I just can't wait for it to keep moving forward and all the places I'll go and all the journey that comes with it. But
Great.
just want to say thanks for listening, everybody, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on whatever podcast streaming service you use. But until next time, we'll see you. It's been Gavin and Dawson on the Tiger Review Podcast. See you,
Thank
everybody.
you.